Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
I know what you're thinking right now is, oh no, he's not surely going to talk to us about green smoothies. I didn't come to church to hear about health. We are not, but I am going to talk to you about some thoughts that can change your life. In other words, we're going to use this analogy today, how this blender represents your brain. And how that your brain, well, first of all, how many of y'all got a brain? Come on, raise your hand if you got a brain. Everybody, every campus, you got a brain. All right, you're looking at the person like, no, I don't think you do. My dad used to say when I was growing up, he's like, if you had a brain, he stuttered. He'd get mad at me. He'd say, if you had a brain, you'd take it out and play with it and ruin it, okay? But you do have a brain. Everybody shout, I got a brain. So your brain or your mind is a container. What you put inside this container changes everything. Today, I'm going to make a beautiful little smoothie for myself. Too bad you have to go home and make your own. I'm going to use these berries, which represent berry, good thoughts. Come on, somebody. It's not going to get any funnier than this, all right? These are berry good thoughts, but you can have some berry bad thoughts. In other words, you can put things in your container that defile you. I mean, we could put lizards in here. We could put dirt in here, and we could make mud, but you don't want to taste it. In fact, there's been times where I have put things in my container that kind of made things funky and made things smell bad, and I had to actually air it out. I mean, I got to scrub this thing out big time because I put something in there. For instance, turmeric. Turmeric works good in a tablet form for me. I started getting allergic to dogs about 10 years ago, which I love animals. Come on, who loves animals in here? Who has a dog? Raise your hand if you got a dog. Raise your hand if you got a cat. Come on, God will forgive you. All right, so I just realized that if I would take turmeric, that I wouldn't get allergic. So we were at Whole Foods or something. I saw a bag of turmeric. I thought, oh, I didn't know it came in a powder form. So I'm going to go home, and I'm going to actually just mix it all up in my protein and my greens, because then I don't have to think about it, and I'll just scoop it all in there. I didn't realize a little bit of turmeric goes a long way. It ruined everything. I ruined about $30 worth of greens. I ruined about $30 worth of protein. Because I put too much of one bad good thing, but too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. Can I get an amen? So that I ruined it. I had to come to the conclusion after I made it and I drank it, tried to. I thought, I can't do it. I've ruined it. I've contaminated the whole mix because I put too much of a good thing in this one thing and contaminated the mix. I want to talk to you about that today. Do you know that you can't have a positive life without having a positive mindset? In other words, your mind is this container, and all day long you have this blender mixing it up. And so if you're not cautious and you don't think about what you're thinking about, before long you'll walk down the road and you'll be aggravated. You'll be mad. That cat you said you have, you'll kick it. That dog, he used to wag its tail when you came home. You're like, oh, the puppy's so glad when I come home. You come home and the dog's like, and runs you the other room. It's because our mix was wrong. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. This will change your life forever. I found out that I'm about as happy as I want to be. Just going to hit home for a minute. Well, I was going to blame it on, you know, the problem that we have. We're going to blame it on external problems. It's the economy. It's the news cycle. It's the shooting. It's this, it's that. We're blaming oftentimes, things on external problems when really we have an internal problem. I'm the one who defiled my mix. I am the one every week who decides what I'm going to put in here. Am I going to put very good thoughts or am I going to put very bad thoughts? Because if you're not careful, you'll be driving down the road. And I got a question for you. Have you ever been driving down the road and you were alone, but all of a sudden you started getting a bad mood? Come on, raise your hand. What happened? Somebody got in the car with you. Who was it? That ex-lover, that ex-boss, that ex-relationship. It got in there and it started, that dirty rascal. You know what I should have told them? I mean, y'all like me, and sometimes you think of your best comebacks after the fight is over, the day later. You're like, I want to call him right back now and tell him, who are you, all right? So we weren't necessarily that slick tongue at the moment, but we thought about it. It began to blend in our mind over and over, and now this external problem has now affected us internally, and now we don't understand why we're unhappy. Why do I feel like I need a counselor? I mean, nothing wrong with counselors, but I'm telling you, the greatest counsel in the world comes out of the Word, because the one who manufactured you is the one that can set you free, and He's the one that can change your life forever. We just got to be careful to think about what we're thinking about. Come on, somebody give God praise today. Come on, I can't hear you, Weldon. I can't hear you, West Paul. I'm telling you, this is the answer to the problems that you've been having. Psalms 42, let's go there, verse 11. It says, why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Nair, 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 nair. My baby left me. She ran off with my best friend. I sure am going to miss him. Come on, right? So why are we crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. Put a smile on my face. He is my God. Do you know God can't put a smile on your face? You got to put a smile on your face. Even when you're mad and you're aggravated, you got to smile. In other words, you got to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. James 1 says that. It says, count it a joy. It didn't say it was a joy. It said, go ahead and count it a joy. When you lost your job, say, I'm not going to lose my joy. If you lost your marriage, I'm not going to lose my joy. I know that God's going to work all things together for my good. I'm not going to allow these things that are on the outside to affect what is going on the inside, because what sinks ships is not what's on the outside. It's what gets on the inside that can take down a giant ship. I'm here begging you this weekend to change the way you think so you can change the way you live and take control of your thoughts, and you put a smile on your face and say, I am happy. I'm full of joy. Come on, somebody. I'm full of grace. I'm full of favor. I'm full of peace. I know that God is for me. Come on, go ahead. Go crazy about 10 seconds. God is with you. He is for you. But He can't put a smile on your face. I have a friend named Joel. Not the one you're thinking about, a different one. Joel Stockstill. Joel has had 72 surgeries. He's my age. He had an illness that hit his body when he was young and became very debilitating, and they didn't expect him to live. And then he had one surgery, then two surgeries, then 10, then 50. Can you imagine that, 50? I'm talking, they knock you out at Good Sam in West Palm Beach, Florida, Dr. Crandall, and they do surgery after surgery. What I've learned so much from Joel, and one of the things I learned about him, is even though he was facing surgery, he controlled his mix, and some days he would send me a video off of his iPhone, or I'd be watching him, you know, on Instagram, and he'd be like, I'm getting ready to go into surgery. But I'm saying this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, and I'm just praising the Lord today. And here I had a hangnail, and I'm upset about it. The traffic light took too long, and I messed up about it. See what I'm saying? We're about as happy as we want to be, but sometimes I wash out the container of my brain by looking at other people and looking at their life and how contaminated it is, and 72 surgeries, and I go, what in the world am I crying about? Why am I down in the dumps? Why am I crying the blues? I need some brainwashing today to change the way I think so I do not allow everyone around me to be affected by my negativity. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. I'm telling you, sometimes you need a good brainwashing. Shout it with me. You need a brainwash. You need a brainwash. You need a brainwash. That's right. Let's look at the scripture in Ephesians 5:26. It says, so that He might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water of the word. Now, in a minute, I'm going to blend this up, but just for fun, we'll do it for right now. We need water to make this mix. If I try to mix this bad boy up with no water, I'm going to put some very good thoughts with long life. He'll satisfy me. I'm an overcomer. These are my banner years. Come on, somebody. I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. These are some very good thoughts right now. And as I put them in there, those are the thoughts. But if I try to, in fact, let's just do it for fun. I'll try to mix these thoughts up without any water. It's kind of a mess. Well, isn't that great, that noise-canceling mojo? Okay, so I'm not going to be able to drink this. It's stuck everywhere because it's missing an ingredient. The missing ingredient most of the time with a lot of people is like, I'll listen to Anthony Robbins and I took some power of the, you know, thoughts, you know, to have a, you know, a bigger mindset. Anthony Robbins told me, and I love Anthony Robbins, it's great, but he told me that it's the power within me and there are many ways to God. No. We're missing the word part. The washing of the water of the word is what makes this thing drinkable. up to this point, the mix isn't right and you can't drink it because it didn't have the correct mixture. And this is what happens oftentimes with people that are, you know, they go to a business conference in Las Vegas, they go to one in Atlanta, they take a lot of notes, but their mix looked just like this. They didn't have the desired outcome because they did not have the mixture right. Now watch what happens. This is what happens when you go to Growth Track. You connect with God, you connect with people, you discover your purpose, you make a difference. This is what happens when you get an iConnect group. You're adding water to the mix. Now it's not just a mixed up stuff stuck up on the side of the wall or side of a notebook. Now, when the mix is correct, watch this, with the washing of the water of the word, oh man, it even sounds better. Look, we got a good mix. It's going to church on Sunday. It's invite your friends, telling them the change that you got in your life. Look what's happening. It's beautiful. It's mixing. And life happens this way. Every day is an opportunity to control your mix. Now look at this. Now we actually have something that's liquid. This is going to move. We can pour this out. I don't have a cup, but I'm going to try. Let's go redneck on this. Come on. Somebody shout, do it. Come on. Do it. Do it. Do you? Do you want me to do it? Do it. Wow, that's good. I couldn't drink it a minute ago because it was stuck, flung up on the side because it was not mixable. It was not drinkable because it was missing this big ingredient. This is why church attendance is so important. This is why brainwashing is so important. That's why the scripture we just read in Ephesians 5:26 says, sanctify herself, cleansing her, look at the screens, with the washing of the water of the word. Everybody shout the word. Come on, shout it again. The word. So your life will not get straightened out until your mind gets straightened out. Hear me yelling right now. You're only as happy as you've decided to be. You're only as friendly as you've decided to be. Come on, somebody ought to tweet it right now. Somebody ought to write it down. Your life will not get straightened out until your mind gets straightened out. So the devil tries to throw thoughts into your mix all the time. You're not going to make it. If it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. You're never going to lose the weight. 2018, 19, and 2020, those aren't going to be your years. They're going to turn out just like the other. You say, oh, no, you don't, Mr. Devil. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I not only have the power of positive thinking, I have the power of positive speaking, and my mouth is going to move, so my mountain will move, and the Goliath moved when David's mouth moved, and your mountain and your Goliath will not move until your mouth moves today. I'm begging you today, Faith Church, to stand firm and to begin to speak to things that are not as though they will become, and then the next thing you know, you'll start getting happy and you'll start getting glad and you'll say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord today. Somebody ought to help me right now. They'll be singing, they'll be dancing, there'll be victory, and this only happens when you get your mind straightened out. Come on, somebody give God praise. Your mind's got to get straightened out. You got to get your mind right. So every time the devil tries to throw thoughts in your mix, you say, devil, no, not today. That's my favorite song. I am working on something here, and I'm going to think right. And then if I think right long enough, I'm going to act right. Look at your neighbor and say, I figured out your problem. Go ahead. I figured out your problem. I figured out your problem. Now, Matthew 12:23, it says, if you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you will pick worm-eaten fruit. The fruit tells about your tree. You have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you're so foul-minded? Is your heart not the dictionary that gives meaning to your words? A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. The words can be your salvation. Our words can be your damnation. You're snared by the words of your mouth. You got to be careful what you say, because what you say, you thought it was just words, but oh no, you were putting too much turmeric in your mix, and now I had to throw the whole thing away because I put too much of that in there. You know that sometimes we can put too much negativity under the guise of constructive criticism? Well, I was just telling you, with constructive criticism, you got to be careful, because the Bible talks about a son and a daughter, your children, actually being beat down and emaciated because you've done too much constructive criticism. And let's talk about that a minute with marriages even. If you put a lot of bad seeds in the marriage and you've really got a mess, you didn't get all that messed up overnight, and you're not going to get it cleaned out overnight. But again, if you go to Growth Track, you get around the right people, you get an iConnect group, you can change the way you completely live your life, because it's really not that person that's the problem, even though they might have problems. Most of the time, it's us. I notice when I get me straightened out that my marriage straightens out. I notice when I get my mind straightened out that my kids straighten out. Because sometimes it's the way I'm seeing it. Am I making sense to you right now? And it's the way I'm saying it, spraying it, wheeling it, dealing it, that's affecting everybody. I heard about an old man one day that he woke up and the kids had messed with him because he was sleeping on the couch, his grandpa, and they had put some of that, I think they call it Lombardi cheese, on his mustache. And so he woke up and he said, "Man, it stinks in here. My God, it stinks in here." So they went in the kitchen. He said, "It stinks in here too." And then he said, "You know, I'm going to go over here to the living room." And he said, "It stinks in here too." And then he went on the front porch and he said, "The whole world stinks." When really, it was what was right under his nose that smelled funky. My question to you right now is, what's right under your nose? It is your mouth. And our mouth sometimes is writing checks that we can't afford to cash. And it's causing troubles corporately, maritally, socially, because we need to understand, for far too long we put bad thoughts in. Now we're going to clean out the mix with the washing of the water of the words, and now we're going to take captive every fearful thought, because words, check this out, can be a very dangerous thing. They can be. You've heard this. I want you to help me with this sentence. I think it went, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but come on, all campuses, what?" That's right. Words will never hurt me. I have a question. Have words ever hurt you? Sometimes do you still think when you're driving down the road, something they said to you 20 years ago? That was 1985. That was 1995. That was 2005. The person's dead. But those thoughts come back because of the words that were sown. And then we have to understand that sometimes what's very impactful to you is not impactful to somebody else. There's different kind of personalities. You know, if you went through Growth Track, one of the things we do is we discover your personalities, all of your personalities. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? You got your multiple personalities. So we find out what is your gifts and talents through a little program which tells, are you a choleric? Are you a melancholy? Are you a sanguine? So I test out choleric sanguine, which means I'm strong as a leader, but the sanguine part's like, okay, I'm a great leader and I know where I'm going, but where did I put my car keys? Okay. So when you find out your personality, and that's one of the reasons Growth Track's so important, and you find out the personalities of the people that you work with, then you know when you go into their office, if they are a melancholy and a sanguine, you got to go, how are the kids? How is the family? How are you? And boom, now you've got their attention and you've fed to that. If you're a choleric, you don't care. You just throw one big thing in there and say, hey, the report was done at 2. I don't understand why it wasn't done at 2. There's no how are the kids? How are the families? And then you have to learn to work at that, because sometimes when you are maybe a choleric and you're to the point like that, even when you try to control the mix and try to get along with other people, you do it kind of fake. You're like, how are the kids? How is the family? You don't even care. And it shows that you don't care. At some point, you have to care. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be us, because God created us to be us. You have a unique thumbprint to leave an imprint that no one else has. Come on, somebody. You do the crime, you're going to do the time. But we must understand that we can be a better, best version of you. Yes, God created us this way, but sometimes we need a little sanding. Sometimes we need a little painting. See what I'm saying? So you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself and go, hang on, wait a minute. I'm in a war here right now. We're in a war. There's a war going on. There's a war for your family. There's a war for America. There's a war of words that is causing dissension in our world. We are in a war. But that's why we come to church, so we can figure out, well, how do we fight in this war? I'm glad you asked. Come on, West Palm. Come on, Weldon. Come on, all campuses. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. I know our city with me right now. For though we walk and live in the flesh, we are not carrying on a warfare, oh, there's that word, according to the flesh, and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare, there's that war word again, are not physical. Not weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrowing of destructive strongholds. So we have to understand right now that the war that we're in mostly is a war in our mind. Now, let me talk about this a second. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, and you thought, oh my gosh, I really, really need to sleep, but I have so many thoughts right now. Come on, raise your hand, whoever you are. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, I'm assuming you're the person snoring next to us that we're like, I am sleeping. You are not that person, right? So how many, let's do it again. All campuses, how many of y'all have woke up in the middle of the night, freaked out about stuff that just had to happen? Then have you somehow wrestled with those thoughts? Finally got exhausted and passed out. And now the alarm goes off at 7. And then for the life of you, you can't remember all the things that were so important at 3. Come on, who are you right now? All right? So you had all of these thoughts that were coming to you, and they were overwhelming, but in the light of day, they went away. I suggest to you that oftentimes that is a war. I have it happen to me. I'll be solving all kinds of problems in the middle of the night. And then I've had to learn to control my mind. Some people do the counting sheep thing. But me, I'm like, 1 sheep, 2 sheep, 3 sheep. Hey, there's a goat. 4 sheep, 5 sheep, 6. Oh, there's a rabbit. Okay, so I get distracted, right? But basically that theory is you have to shut your mind down so you can go to sleep. So what I've done over the years is I've just relaxed myself and said, hey, you are not allowed to solve problems in the middle of the night. So I'll think of a sermon in the middle of the night. I'll think of a problem in the middle of the night. I'll go, nope, it's no time to do this because I know you in the morning, you're going to stop going, rah, 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 and no, you're going to go to sleep. Because if I wake up and I've slept good, because the Bible said, I give my beloved sweet sleep, then I'm going to sleep good. And then tomorrow I can deal with the sufficiency and the concerns of tomorrow, but I'm going to do it rested and refreshed. But oftentimes there is an enemy for your soul. I'm talking to you right now. And it comes as a stronghold and tries to develop a pattern to interrupt your sleep cycle. So all night long, when you're trying to sleep, all you hear is this, 24 hours a day. That's your mind. What are you going to do about the dishes? What are you going to do about the kids? What are you going to do about the bills? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You got to say, shut up. You quit that. And then there are certain secrets. I'm going to give you 3 right now. You ready? Certain things that you can do that you need to do. Just, it's a physiological situation. It's a psychological situation that can totally change those negative thoughts that you have before you go to bed. Before you go to bed, are you ready? Number 1, don't get in your bed and watch the news. There's no good news. You know, they say nothing good happens after midnight. You know, it's like, oh, that guy got in trouble. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m. Well, nothing good happens after 10 p.m., all right? So you turn on that news cycle and you hear, 3 people got shot in East St. Louis. 4 people got shot in West Palm on Tamarind Lane. And so now you got all these negative thoughts because you do care about people. And now that's upsetting you. Then you drank a soda before you went to bed. And then you wonder why in the world you can't go to sleep. So here's some things that your body naturally does. Your body naturally produces a thing called melatonin. There's a supplement that you can take. Your body's not low on Tylenol PM. It's not like, hey, I check my blood and I'm definitely low on Tylenol PM. No, but your body does make melatonin. When the lights go down, that's why the gods of heaven had the good sense to shut the sun down. So when the sun starts going down, your body starts making melatonin. So go into your room and don't watch that stuff. Keep your room lit dim. Read High God, read the book of Psalms, calm yourself down. And then also something else you can take if your body stopped making melatonin as great as it should have because we didn't control our thoughts. Your body also needs a little thing called magnesium, okay? So every night before I go to bed, years ago, I figured out this. I'd be getting in bed, I preached maybe six services, and I did it. And that's why I love streaming services, because I'm going to live longer. How many of y'all want your pastor to live a long time? Come on, the correct answer is yes, all right? So sometimes when I stream it, it's not because, you know, I'm running down the highway and I'm preaching, run. I can give you more time, I'm better rested, and then I'm not going to run out with the organ player because I'm not attracted to him. Come on, somebody. So we have to say, hang on, I got to do what's good for my long-term health, okay? So I started having restless leg syndrome. I talked to a doctor friend of mine. He said, you know, actually what you need is you just need magnesium. So I started taking magnesium before I go to bed. My legs just is calm. I laid down Sunday night. After doing a lot of traveling, I had been coming back from the West Palm campus and, you know, had several different layovers, and it took a long time. And I got home and I got in bed, and all of a sudden I realized, man, my legs are bugging me. Anybody ever had that? And so I took 3 magnesium. 20 minutes later, just as calm as can be. So sometimes, yes, it is very important to control your thoughts, but long-term inappropriate thoughts can actually have physical long-term implications. Am I making sense? So people are like, man, I got a knee problem, I got a heart problem, I got a lung problem. Sometimes it could be because we abused our body smoking a long time. Now, thank God we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and if we start putting the right things in our body over a long period of time, the body naturally heals itself, and so does the mind. You got to start saying good thoughts about you. I want us to practice some good thoughts. Just say this. Say, the Lord loves me. Come on. Come on, say it louder. The Lord loves me. Shout, I forgive everybody. Go ahead. Say this with me. Say, I forgive me. You know, sometimes the reason why we're mad at other people is because we've put too many negative things in our mind about us. I don't want to drink this. If we go outside, no matter how good the dirt is, and we throw dirt in here, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to drink it because it's been defiled. Our thought lives have been defiled. Think about that. How many times are you going to keep looking at yourself and saying, I hate that about you? Nicole always says, I hate my nose. I hate my nose. She says, I hate being this tall. And I got little people coming up to her, you know, at 5'5", and they'll be next to Nicole and say, oh, I hate being this short. Okay, you hate being short. You hate being tall. I think the enemy tries to get us to hate, because you can't love your neighbor as you love yourself if you compromise your thought life and start becoming critical of you. Listen, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're the one that God decided to put here on this people planet right now. You're good enough. You're bold enough. You're anointed enough. You're an overcomer. And sometimes if you're not careful, you defile your mix because there's something about you that you don't like. And it's the very thing that the person who's going to love you for the rest of your life loves about you. Come on. Nicole says, I hate my stretch marks. I go, those aren't stretch marks. Those are beauty marks for the 2 beautiful children you gave me. There's Austin. Come on, somebody. There's Ashton. Come on, somebody. She's self-conscious about it, and it doesn't bug me at all. Come on, I'm teaching you right now how to see your wife with the lights on. Come on, I'm helping somebody right now. Be careful being critical of yourself, because you know what you're actually doing? You're not really being critical of anybody but God. God doesn't make any junk. He made you the way he wanted you. He made you the size you are. He made you the bone structure that you are. He made you the color that you are. Listen, you've bruised your mind thinking negative thoughts. You've allowed your thoughts to be contaminated. But this is the sermon that I believe is going to change your life forever, because you're going to realize for the first time, I'm not just trying to get you to go to Growth Tech, connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, make a difference. I'm not on commission. I know it'll change your life. I'm not trying to get you in a small group community of other people who are going to bless you and change your life because it's going to help me. I'm already in one. It helps me. I found out a long time ago that you're only as sick as your secret. If you don't have somebody that you can share the things that are really bugging you with, somebody that you trust, somebody that's not going to stab you in the back, then you will spend your life worrying, and you will not be able to live the fullness and the purpose that God has for you. But if you can change those thought processes, come on, somebody, you can change it. And here's the beauty of it. Nobody's in control of this but you. How many control freaks do I have in the house? Come on, raise your hand, West Palm. Come on, Earth City. Come on, Weldon. Come on, Southside. Okay, how many, just try to get, who, I can't stand being in control. I'm a pilot because I want to be in control. If both of them die, I can land it, okay? I want to drive, even though other people can drive, even though I should be doing email or doing something more productive in the back, I want to drive because I want control. I like control. Who is it again? Oh, come on, let God see you. Who wants control, right? So here's the beauty of this. You are in control of your thought lives. Yes, somebody might try to throw stuff in your thing. Well, you put your lid on and go, no, you're not putting that in there. No way, Mr. Devil. No way, Bubba. No way, Shaquita. Come on, somebody. No way, Tom. You're not doing that to me anymore. And we can love people, but we don't always have to listen to people because we can't lead people if we can't love people. Come on, I'm preaching right now. But the only way you can love people sometimes is stay away from the people that are contaminating your mix. They put too much of that in your mix. And you got to love them. And you got to pray for them. But you don't have to continually listen to stuff that's going to defile your mix. Come on, who am I helping? Raise your hand right now if I'm helping you. Come on, everybody, even online. You can also hit that button right now at the online streaming. Hit that heart button. On Facebook, you can hit that heart button. Let me know that you like this. Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, do not worry. One translation says, don't worry. It didn't say, try not to worry. It says, don't worry. Come on, everybody, look at the screens. Don't worry. Shout it. Don't worry. Now, we know this is a song, right? You should download it. Some of you are young and you don't remember it. There was a guy named Bob Marley who didn't worry a lot because he smoked a lot of weed. Come on. And he said, the landlord said the rent is late. He might have to litigate. Don't worry. Be happy. Come on, somebody. Don't worry. Be happy, man. All right? So, in life, you have to decide, don't worry, be happy, man. Now, you don't need to smoke the weed, but how many of y'all know you can smoke the word and it can change your life forever? And you'll smoke the devil right out of your life when you do that. Don't worry about what? Anything. Everybody shout anything. Instead, pray about everything. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. There's a recipe for success. One, don't worry about anything. Two, pray about everything. Come on, write this down. Three, tell God what you need. I need to tell my uncle. I need to tell my lover. I need to tell somebody. Tell God what you need. And then here's the last part that's very important. Then thank him for what he has already done. So you need to just thank God. God, I thank you that I shouldn't be in my right mind, but I am. God, I thank you that you brought me to the greatest church in the whole wide world, Faith Church. God, I thank you that you sent Pastor David and Nicole and Austin and MJ to Florida to start a church 1,100 miles away from the house because I am called and qualified and anointed to do something good. God, I thank you that you gave us the Royal Palm Beach campus and ministry center chapel there, and you're going to give us multiple campuses. God, I thank you that you're giving us a building in the Florissant-Ferguson area. You don't see it yet, but you have to say it, because if you can say it and you can see it, you can seize it. Come on, somebody missed a good opportunity to shout right now. If you can see it in your mind's eye and you can say it out of your mouth, you will seize it in your life, but you will never seize it in your life until you say, I'm going to get my mind fixed. I'm going to transfer all of this information every week into my container, and I'm going to blend that up, and I'm going to like the way my life tastes. I'm going to like the way my life turns out. Come on, somebody. I'm going to work all things together for the good of them who love me. That's what God said today. Somebody ought to give God some crazy praise right now. I'm tempted just to throw this out at you. Amen. Verse 7. Check this out. We got to close. We're almost done. Look at your neighbor and say, he's about to close. Come on. He's about to close. Some of y'all even looking right now going, your favorite scripture is, let my people go. Okay, so we're almost done. How many of y'all though raise your hand and say it's helping you? Come on. Shout it's helping me. And the God of peace, if you do what he just said to do, and the God of peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul-assured salvation through Christ, fearing nothing from God, being content with your earthly lot, whatever sort that peace is, which transcends all understanding and camps garrison around your hearts and minds. In other words, God's saying, when you think this way, you not only put a lid on it, God says, I've encapsulated you. And I'm not going to let anything in the world system affect you, because now you are completely covered. You're covered by the blood. You're covered by the power. You're covered by the anointing. You're completely encapsulated. So when you lay down at night and you stop watching those late night programs, you lay down at night and maybe you took some extra melatonin, or at least turned the lights down in the room so melatonin started formulating in your own body. And you took some magnesium. You did the natural part and you did the supernatural part. You realize now that you have that peace of God that is encapsulated and it's mounting guard around your heart and around your mind. I'm telling you, this is the answer to controlling your mind. Very last verse. Here's the next recipe for your mix. For the rest, my brethren, whatever is true, think on this. Put this in your smoothie. Whatever is reverent, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is lovable, whatever is kind. If there is anything worthy of praise, think on, weigh, take account of, and I love this part, fix your minds on them. Shout it. Fix your minds on them. Come on, shout it. Fix your minds on them. Why? The positive thing. Fix your mind on the supernatural intervention of God. Fix your mind not on Fox News, not on CNN, not on the political problems of the world. You fix your mind by fixing your mind upon Him, and you're thinking these peaceful thoughts. And so you ought to just write yourself a song, make yourself up a rap. Come on, somebody, shout it with me again. Fix your minds on Him. Shout it. Fix your minds on Him. I need to hear you. Fix your minds on Him. Fix your mind on Him, on those positive things. And then before long, you'll open up the lid of your mind. You'll open up the treasures of your heart, and you'll realize once and for all, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you right now, I feel the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. This message was for you. God is doing a work in you. This church and this teaching is changing your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, even online, wherever you're at, driving down the road right now, I want to pray for you. I want you to raise your hand, even if you're alone sitting in a hospital room, because I won't see your hand, but God will see your hand. How many raise your hands today and say, Pastor, I needed that message that answered so many questions, that solved so many areas that I was confused about? Come on, raise your hand. Let God see that hand. I don't care if you're in a nursing home. I don't care if you're in prison right now. Now I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say this out loud. Come on, all campuses. Say it loud. Say it strong. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe today that You have created the Word of God to solve my problems. And from this moment forward, I will not allow the enemy nor the enemy to affect my thought life. From this moment forward, I put a lid over my mind. I put a guard over my mouth. And my life will forever be changed. In Jesus' name, and everybody shout it loud and strong. Amen. Come on, give God praise.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.